Sam, tell me a joke.
Okay, why did the Pathfinder cross the galaxy?
To escape BioWare's QA department?
Hey, I think my Nomad is stuck.
On a rock?
Nah, in a metaphor for this game's development cycle.
So, Ryder's got a jetpack now.
That sounds awesome. You can fly around?
More like hover awkwardly over puddles.
Well, still sounds cooler than tripping on a rock.
Actually, I did that while jetpacking.
So you invented space pretzels?
This planet has acid lakes, constant lightning, and killer plants.
Sounds unlivable.
Sam says it's at 18% viability.
So, not dead, just mostly dead?
Exactly, prime real estate.
But the HOA fees must be brutal.
Now, this is a story all about how Matt's life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just pet your cat. I'll tell you how Matt became the Prince of Backtrack. In Western Florida, born and raised, in his bedroom is where Matt spent most of his days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, playing Nintendo outside of the school. When his homeboy called, who had a podcast show, said, "Join this site, give it a go." Matt wrote a couple reviews, then paused, took a crack, and said, "You're recording a podcast with Kelly called Backtrack." He called for an Uber, and when it came near, the license plates had cats in it and mice in the mirror. If anything, he could say this car caused a fuss, but he thought, "Nah, forget it, you're home to Kansas." He got to Kelly's house about 8 or 9, and he yelled to the Uber, "Yo, Holmes, just in time." He looked at Kel's kingdom, and he knew it'd be whack to sit by the throne of the Queen of Backtrack.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the writer to my writer, Mr. Matt Mason.
Yay! Do I get to play the Kevin Sorbo character? Like, pulled out of the event horizon from that black hole after 300 years?
I think you're talking about the wrong Andromeda.
Oh, man.
But also,
Oh,
why would
well.
you want to play as Kevin Sorbo? He's a douche.
There's that. I'll be writer. That's fine. I'll be the writer to your writer.
Okay. And joining us tonight, we have a cavalcade of guests. We've got Robert Albright.
Space is the final frontier that I wish I didn't visit.
Pascal Takaya.
Hey, I'm recording this from 600 years in the future and sending it back in time.
And Josh Carpenter.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And we are talking about the red-headed stepchild of the Mass Effect series. Mass Effect Andromeda, the one that they tried to do and went over like a lead balloon.
I mean, hasn't it led to so many more Mass Effect games?
Yo,
there
yeah,
is
we've
one
got.
coming.
See, I didn't know there was one in development.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with Andromeda.
Despite all the hints they left at the end of Andromeda.
Oh, so they were trying to make Andromeda into a series. And
oh, very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the intent.
Though, funnily enough, as much crap as I've heard about this game, our site did give it a very positive review.
Alex really liked it and gave it a 4 out of 5.
So maybe there's a hidden gem here amongst all the glitches. Maybe.
Well, we'll see what everyone thinks.
I've seen this one go on sale multiple times and been like, oh, maybe I need to finish the first trilogy first.
That would definitely be my recommendation.
Yeah.
Agreed.
This is like Mass Effect methadone. You know, if you're addicted and you just need some Mass Effect, this is something that's some sort of reasonable facsimile of Mass Effect.
That's an interesting description for a game.
Yeah, there you go.
And who's to say there's not a planet in Andromeda that's named methadone? So this absolutely could just be like a waiting sequel that they haven't gotten to yet.
Oh, Mass Effect methadone, that kind of has a nice ring to it.
It does, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what. Let's take a brief musical interlude, and then when we come back, I guess we'll get our fix.
All right.
Be right back. Welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Mass Effect Andromeda, released on March 21st in North America, 2017. Wow, time has flown. I thought that this released a lot more recently, for PS4, Xbox One, and Windows. And interesting development note that this was handled by a new team out of Montreal, while the core team that worked on the first three games worked on Anthem. I think that
Not
explains a lot.
really, because Anthem didn't do that well either.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, I think this game was probably better than Anthem, which is sad.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is some shade. 'Cause Anthem was trying to be Destiny, wasn't it?
Yes, it
Yes.
was. And it failed miserably on all accounts.
So, most of the discourse I heard about this game was making fun of the cavalcade of glitches.
Yeah.
I don't know what else th this game is about, if like it has anything to do with the original trilogy or if it's like a side
Now,
story.
it's set up to like bypass all of the baggage that they would have had at the end of Mass Effect 3, because the end of Mass Effect 3 kind of ends in a way that Shepard's story is done. So they wanted to come up with some way to kind of sidestep that. So the
But at the same
whole
time, you have that one scene where it's like, I want to hear more of the shepherd. It's like, well, let me tell you this story. So they set it up to where they could have.
They could have,
You didn't have to
but
mention what scene you're talking about. I don't recall any Shepard stuff.
we're talking end of Mass Effect 3. I meant
I guess I
this
just
game.
missed something, yeah.
So like
Yes.
they certainly could have, but they decided to like, okay, we don't want our next game to have that sort of expectation and baggage. So this was their way of sidestepping that whole thing, and let's stick our main character out in a totally new galaxy. So it's set up with the idea of, like, I believe it was in between the events. I can't remember now if it was in between the events of the first and the second Mass Effect or second and third Mass Effect, where the Citadel, where the Council decides, okay, you know, we don't know how all this is going to work out, so we're going to kind of like get together these ships that are going to be full of people who are willing to take on and go and settle the Andromeda galaxy. So we're going to
Arcs.
send these
Arcs.
arcs, yes. And so people are going to be frozen, and it's going to take 600 years to get there. And when you show up and you get there, like everything, nothing has gone to plan. Like the whole idea was like, okay, we've identified some stars where things are should be, you know, like they should be, have habitable planets. And when you show up, like nothing has gone to according to what we thought it was going to. And there was this huge energy field that seems to be affecting things, and you land on the very first planet trying to figure out what's going on, and it's supposed to be like a tropical paradise, and instead it's just massive storms everywhere. And you explore and you find out that there are these monoliths that are on the that have been placed on the planet by some unknown alien species, obviously, and that's somehow affecting the climate. And so, and our you know, like the main character, Ryder, who is the his dad is the Pathfinder, the leader of the human group, the human part of the collective that is being sent out to Andromeda. Like they're able to infiltrate the monolith and kind of like reset it on this first planet. But as a during all of that, like you know, the main character's like kind of falls from a huge height, and his environmental suit is cracked, and his dad saves him. And then they just kind of decide to make him his dad kind of like infused him with the nanobots that connect to this AI that the ship is running on. And so his dad kind of just makes his son the new leader of the new Pathfinder. And that's kind of like where the game sets up from. Is that
Okay.
mostly right, Pascal?
Yeah, because the dad who was set up to be like the protagonist dies in the opening mission and passes the torch on to it. He sacrifices himself to save his son, and then you play as the son for the rest of it. I don't remember the Citadel Council really being behind this whole thing. It just that could be me not remembering.
Oh, I don't. No,
I thought it
they.
was.
Oh, I was going to say no. They were not behind this. It was more,
There was like
Ryder.
an Earth, there was an Earth billionaire who kind of like I thought funded it all. I'm not sure like what the Citadel involvement was, but I know it was like a private enterprise that kind of started this whole like
Yeah. Yes.
what
Alec Ryder. Or not Alec Ryder, but the father. I
yeah,
think was
Alec.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah, Alec
that's
Ryder.
Alec.
He was the private billionaire who was funding all this because they didn't
No.
agree with the Citadel's
The
response to
No,
the.
there was a lady who was like in charge of funding it. I don't recall her
Oh.
name. She ends up dying during the voyage, so you never, other than like reading about her later, I don't think you ever really get much with her. He was involved as kind of like he and his wife, I think, were both involved. She was like the head of science, and he was, I don't know, he was more like the military branch, I guess, which is why he's the, one of the pathfinders. So they were definitely involved in it, but I'm not, I think this was separate from the Citadel, and I was under the impression it happened prior to the first Mass Effect, but again, that I
No,
don't
it
remember a lot of the
was
details.
no, it was definitely after the after the second one because of the it had to do with their response to the Reapers.
Oh,
So
so the Reapers were already a thing at that point? Okay.
yeah.
That I didn't remember. So and one and Josh, one of the thing one of the reasons why like everything kind of went to shit as soon as they got there is because it took them 600 years to travel there. I think it's 600. And so during that time a lot of stuff changed in Andromeda, like from the way that they had I was never quite clear on how they were able to scout out like possible habitable worlds with a 600 year like light year difference
Well, I mean, you
somehow.
could even now you can, look through telescopes and kind of like somewhat pinpoint stars that are like, have the right sort of, have the right sort of size, and you can tell whether they got planets or not, even with our own technology right
Right,
now. So,
I'll give you
you
that
can
then.
kind of like hand wavy some sci-fi technology where you could do stuff. But yeah, you're still stuck with the speed of light being a problem that you're basically looking back in time.
Some of the other shit that happened in the in-between time is that there were like I don't know if there were ended up being four or five arcs. There's basically an arc for each main species, and they kind of left at left like our galaxy at intervals. But along the way, over the course of 600 years, some of them have already arrived, some of them have gone missing. And then, like you had mentioned, this energy field, which is the Scourge, I think, is has kind of taken over Andromeda, and the worlds are in trouble. So it's just a big like shit show when you get there, which is I liked a lot of this like the narrative setup, the way that they kind of divorce from the main Mass Effect universe, because That would have been that would have had a whole different set of problems as to just try to just continue the story without Shepard, or tell a side story. But like by going to a whole new setting and especially this the big time jump, I thought that just opened like a lot of creative doors for them to hopefully make use of.
It was one in a long line of good ideas that they didn't quite nail the execution on. Because I agree. I think that is a, like if they had tried to create any sort of direct sequel or any kind of, oh, we're going to go prequel or we're going to go side story, it ends up having a lot of, you end up with that Star Wars sort of thing where, oh man, everything must fit in perfectly into the timeline. We can't do anything that ruins the main timeline. And by doing this, yeah, they get to just like sidestep all of that and create something new.
I mean, it's a reboot in some ways,
Yeah.
and I thought it was a good plan.
And
But much like the journey to Andromeda, the plan did not go as envisioned.
I was thinking about this just then, comparing it to the Trails series, which, is a long running series, and how they kind of divide story stuff into chunks, like the Trails in the Sky series and the Trails of Cold Steel and all of that. And it kind of makes sense to every once in a while kind of start over with a new set of characters and a new plot.
I mean, one of the things that really appealed to me here is by doing this, they cut away any safety net that the characters would have had. Like, there's nothing for them to fall back on. Other than the fact that, they basically have like a giant space station, and I mean they do have lots of like military power on their side. Like, they couldn't just let them. It can't just be a ship with like 100 people and all on their own. That might have been interesting in other ways, but it's just so divorced from any of the previous like lore and the cast of characters that was already established that I think that was smart for a reboot anyway. But So what happens? So obviously the Pathfinder dies. A lot of other people have died in between. Things are not off to a good start, but then from there it kind of just goes into, you're the new Pathfinder. Time to start pathfinding. Go explore worlds, find us a place that, or find us places we can settle and explore this new galaxy. And it doesn't take long before you kind of run into the game's central antagonist, which is the
Cat.
Keth. So there's a relatively recently there's a so there's an alien species that has just come into the Andromeda Galaxy within the last few decades. I think they make mention of it being like 60, 70 years prior to this. So again, there was no way for that this would have happened while you were like still in hypersleep traveling, and they've come in kind of enslaved one of the major native alien species in Andromeda, the Angara, and are here to do bad things. I can't
And
remember.
the crazy thing is, like, you're going to a new galaxy, and we have, like these two new species. We have the Ket, who are our bad guys. We have the Angara, who are the one new species we get, and that's it. That's all the alien races, all the new alien races you get in this game. You go to an entirely new galaxy, and all BioWare had for us was just, two new alien races. Only one that you could really interact with. It was just like mind-boggling to me that, they have this opportunity to create, a blank canvas. We can do all new things, and they did absolutely nothing with it.
That didn't bother me.
I will admit, I bounced off the game at the second planet
What happened? What do you
because
mean? What's the second planet?
I don't know. It was very much like the first planet,
Oh,
giant desert. And that is
I
why I
mean,
bounced, because I was like, I just went through one entire desert planet, and you're having me go through another giant desert planet? I'm done.
I think I may know one of the planets you're talking about, but there are, well, I mean, the biomes are kind of what, jungle, desert, ice.
No, they were two
Yeah.
desert planets. Like the first one was like more mountainy desert, and the second one was like straight up just flat desert. Because the second one was the one with the where the Krogan had settled,
Yeah.
and they were living in like
Oh,
some
okay.
yeah. And but the very first planet was also very deserty. So
I
I
didn't
was
get to the
just
Krogan world for a long time.
yeah.
okay. Maybe that was just the way I ended, where I ended up going next, type of thing. Because I think you
I
could
think
choose
it's.
like sort of the planet cycle you went to. But I went through two. I was going through a second desert planet. And I was like, I'm done with this. I live in a bloody desert. I don't need to do this many deserts.
And I mean that in terms of like the design, this one went back much more to the original Mass Effect 1, rather than 2 and 3 had t you know Mass Effect 1, the original game, it was very much it was designed to be open, like you could go and you could land on not on every planet, obviously, there were gas giants and stuff like that, but like it had lots of planets that you could land on. But the problem was in the first game is that there wasn't a whole lot to do on any of those planets on outside of the explicit story mission planets. Most of them were just, balls with some mountains and such on them, but that was about it.
And they're like a couple mining nodes, maybe one point of interest, and like one like side quest accessible area.
So this is like an attempt to go back and do another version of that. Once again, where you can land on planets, you've got this time it's a nomad where you can traverse it. But it runs into some of the same problems. Like it wasn't as generic as the first game was, but it was a lot of planets without a lot of it certainly is not like a Skyrim sort of thing where there were tons of people. Once again, like there weren't anyone to interact with. There wasn't side quests to come across. It was just like there were plenty of places to go and explore, but there wasn't necessarily a ton of real reason to do that exploration.
Yeah, because it was empty, and that was the second reason. I was like, two desert worlds that were a very empty, and I was done. I was just like, nope, this is boring. I have more interesting games to play, and I was
Yeah,
super hyped for it.
I agree. It wasn't outside of the main story, it doesn't provide a lot of impetus to really interact with the world in for very much time.
Which
I
that's never
tried.
really been like BioWare's strength.
Yeah. I tried doing some of that, but yeah, I agree. It's a limited appeal to that. Forgot to mention that, but so Tam, you brought it up because yeah, the Krogan settled, and so did a bunch of other like Milky Way species. So again, during that in between time that you never play, while you're in hypersleep, there's several other developments. So there's a whole uprising on the Nexus from the Arks that arrived before you and the people that were unfrozen prior to you. They had a whole like civil unrest uprising. A bunch of people, well, a bunch of alien species and humans too, got exiled from the Nexus in Andromeda, and so, or some of them just left voluntarily. Like there's a lot of discontent, and so you have all these Milky Way species that have just kind of flung themselves to the far corners of the Andromeda galaxy and created settlements on different worlds. And that's a lot of what you find when you start exploring is, oh, there's already, humans living here in a small little settlement. Or like you said, the Krogan have a quote unquote, city, like a subterranean settlement that you can explore, you can get side quests. It's not super interesting, I don't think, but there was like, I don't know. It's kind of it treads a middle ground to me. Like I tried to give it a chance to pull me in, and there was some small interest, but yeah, not the storytelling was a little lacking. Until of course, like we said, you find the Angara. So that was kind of the more interesting part was when you come across this alien species that's been subjugated by the Ket, and the Ket have this their deal is that they, I don't know, they kidnap other species and somehow like infuse them with their own DNA and infuse their DNA into themselves, and kind of like it's just a big meld and create more like hostile new species out of them. So it's like a total like biological takeover. They have a term for this. I can't remember, and I just played it like a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember. May have to look
I
it up what
can't remember
they
exactly what they're
call it.
calling it. Yeah, it's been too long for me.
And that's kind of what you're stopping, right? Like you're like, oh, this is not good. This is not nice. We must stop them. And the Angara like kind of more or less ask for your assistance, or like they, or you agree to help them, I guess. Like not, they're not all friendly towards you necessarily, but you kind of side with them a little bit and try to strike up like a friendship in the new galaxy. And you do this by helping them fight against their tormentors. And so you become enemies with the Ket, and the main Ket bad guy, the Archon, has this vendetta against you because it turns out that the nanobots and the artificial intelligence that your father gave you access to allows you to interact with these alien structures. What would you call them, Josh? Was it
They're
the
monoliths, yeah.
monoliths? And you seem to be the only creature in all of Andromeda that can do this, if I remember right,
Yep.
despite the fact that they have nothing. Like, this is a different galaxy made by and by the end you do find out that these monoliths were created by a whole nother alien species that is no longer around. I don't,
Very
did
much
anybody get
mirroring
to
the
the
first
end?
Mass Effect series, with like the Protheans, yeah.
But still, you're the only person that can interact with them, and so that's an so it gives the Archon another reason to want you. You're his, like, he sees you as the key to controlling these alien devices that are placed all over Andromeda. And so with that, he wants to, what, take over the worlds and destroy the worlds, and he needs you to do that.
And that was probably a plot point they would have brought up in Andromeda 2 or 3, but of course, we didn't get that far.
No, that all happens in this one.
No, like what the nanomachines were, like how your father discovered them, that type of stuff.
Well, some of that gets fleshed out during the game, because I mean, that was
As I
part
said, I
of.
didn't get very far. I went
No.
through two desert planets. I was
Yeah.
like, nope,
Because
bye, bitches.
that was part of his father's split from the council, wasn't it? Over like his research into AI.
Yeah, that sounds right. He was pushing the boundaries of what was deemed acceptable. AI was kind of, I don't remember that if that was a big thing in the original Mass Effect, like AI being controversial, but he
Oh,
definitely
yes.
embraced
Oh,
it.
yes. Yes. Very, very, very big thing.
Yeah, I think it cost him his, like, that was one of the reasons he signed on to this like expedition. He was kind of ousted from his previous like positions that he was in. And so he's like, okay, well, I'm joining this expedition to Andromeda, and he brought his knowledge along with him, and it turned out to be useful. Yeah, are we still talking plot? Should we just wrap it up?
But we didn't
Because we're
even
kind
mention
of,
that, like, the main character, like, you have the choice at the beginning of the game whether you want to play as male or female, and then whichever way you choose, the other your it becomes they both exist, so you have a sibling, you have your sister or your brother, and you're the whichever one you don't choose basically spends the entire game in a coma. That's how
Yeah,
they decided to what they decided to do with that.
something went wrong during their cryo freeze, and they're being, yeah, I think she or he has then been placed into like a medically induced coma to allow the cryo sleep to wear off naturally. So they're not awake. I think they attempted to wake everybody up, but like I said, some plot reasons happen. And the other sibling doesn't make it out of cryo sleep on time. They do, though, by the end.
Yeah, because the Ket kidnapper and then or her or him and then use it as part of their plots to I forget exactly what they did with the other with the
It's
sibling.
this is like a good description of Mass Effect. Something happened, or Andromeda specifically. Something happened. Can't remember the details. Were they important? No. No, your sibling wakes up prior to the kidnapping. So they finally shake off the cryo sleep just naturally, like the way it was meant to happen kind of eventually occurs. And then shortly after that, the Archon gets wind of, oh, you have a sibling, kind of like a Darth Vader moment of, Oh, you have a sister. Because he kind of dives into Ryder's head and reads some of his memories. And in that, he can see that he has a sister or she has a brother. And he figures, well, if I can't have access to these nano machines through you, I don't really need you. I just need your identical twin sister, because she can do the same thing you can. And so they go after the other sibling and kidnap them, and that leads to the final, like, confrontation.
The more I'm hearing, the better it sounds like this plot got worse.
Oh, it's getting worse for you? Worse than
It's
the
getting
desert
worse.
planet? It was okay. It was okay. It was one of the better things of the game. I like the story, okay.
It just
So there
sounds
are some.
so generic. It's like, oh, I'm going to go after your sister and not you. That sounds so bloody generic.
It probably would have worked better if you had more of a connection with your sibling, but like there's very limited, like you said, the sibling wakes up slightly before they're kidnapped, but not much. So it's not like you have a real strong bond with them throughout the game.
I mean, I didn't have much of a bond with anybody, which I'm sure will be a whole separate discussion later. To me, the whole cast kind of felt that way. So Ryder's sister fit in perfectly. I didn't really, she wasn't singled out as like a lack of character for me, because I felt that way about the rest of them. There is some stuff being teased, though. To me, okay, whatever the shortcomings are of Andromeda, I think it could have benefited from having its own sequel, because I think there's places they were trying to go with a possible sequel, and there are things that would have been interesting to see. Because I already alluded to, so these monoliths that are like that control like the climate on all these different worlds, and at the moment they're all running amok. But like, so in addition to trying to find a way to stop the Ket, you're also trying to, fix the world so you can settle on them. And so that means you have to find a way to get this alien technology under control. So you're kind of always running like a little side story of, can we figure out how to access these monoliths and how to interact with them? And as that like plot kind of develops, you find out, okay, well, these were placed here, I don't remember, at some point in the distant past by, like I said, another alien species that's no longer around. Where have they gone? What happened to them? You get some nuggets of that during like the final mission, where you follow like a little, like a trail of breadcrumbs that this lost civilization has kind of left for you. So you travel to their, I was about to call it their home world. It isn't really. They created like an artificial world that you figure out is the key to everything, and you have to figure out where it went, where did they send it, I have to find it. And that's kind of where the final showdown happens, is on this alien created like world that is the cornerstone of this whole like monolith network, right? And one of the things you uncover in the process of this is also that this other alien race, this extinct alien race, are the ones who created the Angara. So it turns out the Angara are not like naturally evolved. They were artificially created in the past by this master race. And one of the questions that surfaces is, what will they do if they ever come back to check on their creation and find us here? Like, how do we deal with this unknown, incredibly advanced civilization who we don't know if they're hostile or friendly? We don't know anything about them. And none of that can get answered in this game. And that might have been interesting for a possible sequel that will probably never happen.
Although we are getting a new Mass Effect, I think it's completely unrelated to any prior Mass Effect.
I would assume so. I think BioWare is going to pretend that Andromeda doesn't exist. It's getting unpersoned, I would think.
Unpersoned. That is a term.
Right, I think that's kind of the main plot.
I
So,
think so. So we want to get into the characters since you didn't like them.
that's not fair. That's like saying, do you not like
I'm contextualizing
plain
it after
water?
you know.
I mean, I don't even remember them. I remember there
Right,
was
that's the
yeah.
point. I couldn't even dislike them because there just wasn't much for me to latch onto. Yeah, we can get into them. Let's do it.
I think of the part, the main party, like you have your two human characters, you have Cora and Liam, who I don't know, for me in Mass Effect, the human characters tend to be the least interesting. I don't know if that's like a bias on my part just because I find the aliens more interesting or not, but like in general, I've tended to find the alien characters in Mass Effect to be more interesting. And Cora and Liam were both kind of like, Cora was very bland. Liam was weird. He was kind of like he was very much a rogue sort of personality, and I don't think I used him a whole lot.
No. Cora had a little bit of interesting background. She was in a she grew up and trained with, I think, Asari Commandos. So she's this like kick-ass special ops, I don't know, Marine type. But her
And she was
background is
supposed to be
way
the one
more.
who was going to take over after your dad to be, she was kind of like next in line. She was his, second in command, and then kind of got passed over by Ryder.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds vaguely familiar. She
Yes, that part I do remember.
forget what I was like, what I was meant gonna mention. I think her background story was way more interesting than like anything that happens with her in game that I found. Like occasionally you can talk to her and ask her to share like an old-timey war story that she has from her past, and it's like, oh, these are like interesting missions she went on.
Wish they were in this
More.
game. Oh,
The characters. Yeah. Well, no, you'll get no argument from me. Liam and Cora were boring, but they were equally boring to everybody else, I felt like.
yeah. Oh, really? I kind of like Drak. I thought he was like kind of an intro. I mean, he's a Krogan, and he definitely carries through the normal sort of Krogan attributes that you expect. But I felt like he had kind of like a little bit of a different side to him. He's a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more protective than what I would expect from a normal Krogan. And I don't know, I kind of dug Drak and his story.
My initial problem was, why do I have one of everything again? Why am I in a new galaxy? I'm
Well,
on the human
hey,
arc.
that was my complaint. Hey, like you come to a new galaxy, you get one new alien race that
So
you
it's
get to
just a
interact with.
stand-in for everybody that you've had before. Like it's I obviously we can't have what were any of them in the previous? All their names are probably gone from my mind from the original trilogy, but
Like Rex, in
yeah,
the case of the
okay, so you
Krogans,
can't
yeah.
have Rex. So
Or
here's
Grunt.
discount Rex.
Yeah, you can't
Here's
have Rex
discount.
or Grunt.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember who Grunt was either at this point. Oh, was he the other Krogan? Yeah, that's right. It was here's your discount Turian. Not to, and there is a way they could have they do have their own it's their I don't know their missions that you can go on if you want to like form a strong bond with them there. I'm sure there's a name like an in-universe game for this a name for this their loyalty missions or something like that. So that would flesh them out, and I probably didn't do a bunch of them. I did do the one for the Turian. what's her name? They're all so forgettable.
A Vetra.
Vetra, yeah.
Vetra
I
and
have a
her
little.
sister.
Okay, like I Googled Andromeda aliens, and she's not even on this list. That's how she ranks. None of them are. Oh my God.
Well,
So
you're looking at aliens. You need to look at the characters.
that's the other thing I was trying to do. Okay. So the point
Remember.
is it was just so I don't know, I didn't like that it was just one of everybody, except not the ones you know. Here's a new one of everything. Here's a new Turian, here's a new is there even a Salarian in this? Yeah, there's a Salarian. You don't get a Quarian, not happening. Yeah, I don't know. It felt very discount to me. It needed I say it again, it needs a sequel to
It
make
needs
me
a
like
sequel and it
somebody
needs more
more.
aliens.
Oh, well, I mean, you do get the one of the Angara joins your crew. I liked him.
I like
What
Jaw
was his
too as
name?
well.
Yeah, no, he,
Jaw.
yeah, he was the, he was cool, and he was like the one who joined you on the first planet.
Yeah.
But then they didn't do anything with like any like all the other planets were just again people from the Milky Way or the Kath,
That
was it.
and maybe some Angars. They're just they like that was one of the things with Mass Effect. Like almost every planet had races on its own sometimes, sometimes not, but there were still a lot more aliens. At this point, they were not alien. You know, the Krogan are not aliens to you. They're part of the universe. The Quarians are not aliens. They're part of the universe. The Taurians were not, you know, were part of the universe. The Asari, part of the universe. They weren't, there were no aliens.
And I mean, this game had, it suffers from those sort of it definitely had a troubled development history. And you can see a lot of that in here, where obviously at a certain point, they had gone through multiple different revisions and, like different ideas for the game that got scrapped along the way. And then at a certain point, they just, kind of hit a deadline that they had to just crank this out. And I think a lot of the broader ideas just did not get fleshed out because of that. They just like had to crunch to get the game done.
Yeah, and maybe they thought they would end up going, you know, okay, let's get this game done. We can work on it for the sequel. And of
Exactly,
course,
that it never comes.
yeah, it never comes because the first one was so bad.
Even the DLC, like on the last time Dave had mentioned something about there was a Quarian DLC plan that never released, like the
Oh yeah, there
Quarian
was a
arc,
whole bunch of
the
DLC
Lost
that never
arc.
got released because the game basically got shit canned.
I think that would have interested me. Not just the Quarian arc, but like any of the other arcs. If that had been a main, if that had been a little bit more of a focal point for this game, figure out what happened during the 600-year voyage that you slept through. Where is everybody? I mean, there was some of that in here, but it wasn't really the focus of the game. That might have been more interesting to me.
Yeah, see, I honestly agree with you. If they had done it with like, oh, what had happened to these other arcs? What about these other? No, they basically tried to copy and paste the story from Mass Effect, the first Mass Effect trilogy of, oh, aliens, monoliths, dead race, or, you know, instead of being like, you know, what happened? Why are these planets, you know, they did a little bit with like the why the planets are different, but what about these other arcs? What about the other races that came with us? What about new aliens? You know, there was so much more they could have done that they just
Right,
didn't.
because the concept of traveling to a different galaxy and settling in a different galaxy, that's interesting. And on top of that, having all these like malfunctions and all these issues during the voyage, that throws up a lot of potential conflict. And that I would have enjoyed like either getting a lot more into the like colonization aspect, or like, I don't know, get behind the mystery of what happened during my 600-year sleep. I didn't get enough of that. That was a little bit of a letdown. I thought the story was fine, and I guess that's where I'm kind of landing on. It's just fine. It didn't have characters that I cared about. I didn't even care about the Ryder twins. I didn't care about my own guy. Boy, was he bland. Man, I hated him. Now that I really think about it. Ryder sucks. He looks like a wet paper towel. And that's not I'm not I'm not I don't mean because of like bugs or glitches. Like I don't care about those. I really don't care. Like all the glitches that like by the time I played it, a lot of that stuff was fixed that was like plaguing the game at launch. I don't care about that. Like if somebody's head starts like floating to the side during dialogue, I don't care, because if the game is if the story is intriguing, I would have happily had all those glitches in there.
I mean, glitches like that are in their own way fun, unless it like crashes the game, of course. But like, you know, eyes going in two different directions, that's funny because it's like, oh, that's great. They screwed up.
Yeah.
If it but
I honestly think that kind of gave the game probably more of a bad rep right out of the gate. And I think that was focusing on the people focused on the wrong thing. Like, The game deserves a chance, and then I think it would have like just been like a lukewarm reception because it, you know, it's not great, but considering like a lot of the controversy it got or the hate it got or whatever, I think that was people focusing on like the technical aspects of it
I wonder
and.
if that is the disconnect between the fan reaction and even the reaction of reviewers, because this game didn't review that badly. It's kind of like a meh, 3.5 out of 5 sort of overall Metacritic landing place. And I kind of wonder if reviewers who were reviewing it probably playing a pre-launch build were kind of like, well, yeah, there's bugs, but there's always bugs, like the game's fine, and they'll probably fix the bugs when, it came out buggy and then people had something to latch onto and focus on.
Yeah,
The public itself, it wasn't as forgiving of that kind of stuff, especially when it was
but
memeable.
so I mean, that's what I'm like, what killed the future of this spin-off? I would say it was probably the technical issues more than anything else.
I mean, that's the thing I still remember about this game more than anything else. The launch, anyway, is like the stories out going around the internet of, like people's just having their eye, like half of their face gone and their eyes sticking out, or, that kind of
Because to
stuff.
me, I. You said, you know, maybe this game deserves, you said it deserves what, like a 3.5 out of 5, or is that where you
I
feel?
think that's where I would be in this ballpark, like three, maybe
Okay. Maybe a
3.5 out of 5.
3. Yeah. And if I'm honest, that's probably to me where the original Mass Effect was too.
Yeah.
And that trilogy got really good with further installments. I think if this game hadn't just been like just killed on arrival based on like early performance, I think. Like technical performance, and we could have gotten DLC, and we could have gotten a sequel. I think there's a there's you know, I say I'm running out of different ways to say it, but there's like what there's enough like good ideas here to build on, I thought, and it's a slight shame that that isn't going to happen.
It's kind of like an interesting flip because I think that some of the roughest edges in the original Mass Effect was like the gameplay and the exploration. That kind of mechanic was really rough, and I think the story and the characters was stronger. Here, almost like the gameplay is much more polished and stronger. And then it's the story. Well, I don't even know that as we've talked about, I don't know that the main story is necessarily that bad. I think the characters are very forgettable, and that's probably the other big, unforgivable sin for a BioWare game.
Yeah, I did the loyalty mission with Vetra for sure, the Turian. That might be the only one, and it didn't do anything to help her character. Like she was still just as forgettable. It's the one where you have to rescue her sister, and it didn't deepen that like relationship any. So if the other character missions are similar, that's just doesn't really seem much point to doing them. What you were talking about gameplay and how polished it is. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's move to that.
Because I don't know what gameplay you're talking
Oh,
about.
okay. Totally disagree. Okay.
Not total yet. I want to hear first, and then I'll see.
Okay, maybe I'm overselling it slightly. So this is they did move to Frostbite Engine with this game, which is probably some of the ca causes some of the technical aspects that they had such problems with.
Yeah, because
And
it
I
was
mean,
one of the first games using it, if I remember right.
one of the first ones that non-shooter anyway.
Okay.
EA was having problems. They were pushing all of their franchises over onto Frostbite. Like they were pushing their sports games over onto Frostbite. They wanted everything on Frostbite at that point. And that was causing issues throughout the company because they didn't want to be spending money on other gaming engines. But like what I think it like once again, like we're going back to Mass Effect 1. Mass Effect 2 and 3 like stripped down and became very much just like a very straightforward cover shooter in terms of gameplay. And the this one, because it's using the same engine as Battlefield, like it's the worlds are much more open. There's your character Ryder, he gets a kind of a jetpack, which he's able to use in to both to jump and also to kind of like do these like quick dashes. So there's much more verticality both in like your character's movement, but also just in the level design as in general. So you're able to kind of like move vertically to outflank your enemies. You're able to move much more quickly than you could in the earlier games. The earlier games were much more slower and plodding. You know, it was move from one point of cover to another. You'd pause. You would, you know, kind of like cycle through your all your different abilities. You might actually, you know, tell your further party members to do one thing or another. And it was like a very slow progression of the combat. Whereas in this game, like it is, there is no pausing anymore for doing other abilities, and it's just all plays fluidly. You're moving around, you're jumping around the battlefield, and it, I don't know, for me, like it played it like that part was like the stronger part of the game.
The combat was fine. Is that where you mean specifically the combat or the exploration?
The combat, yes. The exploration is distinct from that.
I have this thing with Mass Effect. I think I did this on the original trilogy too. I don't really mess around with biotic powers. I let my squad mates do stuff that they want to do, I guess. I don't have time to figure out how that works. Or I don't know. No, wait a minute. I have time. I don't have enough interest to figure out how that works. I never have, and it's kind of it's that's not just a Mass Effect thing. I don't have, I don't care about these systems in a lot of games. So yeah, I was fine with combat because I'm fine with ducking behind cover and shooting, or letting my shield recharge briefly. Dying was very forgivable, or forgiving rather, because you just kind of like restart right beforehand, or
Yeah,
sometimes the
it
game
was
even
very
autosaves
generous,
kind of
yeah.
like mid-encounter. It was fine.
Like everything
This is,
else in this game.
yeah, it's just, I can't commit much more than that, because if it was really good, like to if combat was good with the other like parts of the system, I never interacted with any of that. Sometimes enemies would like start floating, and I knew that somebody on my team had it was doing some biotic stuff, and that's as far as my interaction went with that.
Bloaty goodness.
Yeah, it gives you like a floating target to shoot at. Man, this they really needed like better side quests, I think.
Yeah.
I there were I was kind of going back and forth between I like the exploration and I dislike it. I don't know. So I also have a weird like 6 year gap in between. I mean, I played the first probably like about to the point where Tam noped out back in, I don't know, 2018, let's say. And it's taken me until now to try to go back in and finish it. So that was another reason I wasn't really very patient with the game. Like it was kind of like a let's wrap it up sort of situation. And there were times even then that I liked exploring on the planets. Like I went back in after beating the game, and sometimes I took breaks from the main story just to go do some side quest stuff. And I had considered briefly after credits, maybe I'll stick to this and just, you know, do kind of like mindless side quest stuff for a while. Sometimes that can be a little relaxing. And let's see how far I can like get the planet viability score. Like maybe I can even like is this a game I'm going to keep playing until I max everything out? So I did that for I think I did like 2 days of that, and then I said no, I was wrong. I think I'm done. Like I cleared like one planet or two planets at most of side quests, and that was all the will I could muster. The side quests are very drive here and click a button, and then drive all the way over here and click a button. Like you have to drive for a long time sometimes, and the planets are not necessarily easy to navigate. Like you have to the map says okay, it's over here, but to get there apparently I have to drive around this ridge forever and find a way up, and then when you get there it's just click a button to install, I don't know, a satellite dish or something, and the quest wants you to do that at five different locations that are incredibly far spaced out. And
And
if you've
some of
done,
those areas too are like really difficult to get to.
yeah. And if you've done your job correctly and picked up all the side quests, you might have a map littered with points like that, but that doesn't make them more interesting. Like the story behind the side quest is dull, and a lot of them were like that. If I liked what it was trying to do, but boy, man, we're saying this over and over. It just didn't give me a reason to do it. I think I could have had fun with the exploration with some good writing attached to the even just like flavor text in the codex, while you're doing the side quest. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, execution of this game was not great.
And I mean, I'm struggling to even remember any of the stories associated with those side quests. I just don't even remember. Did they give you anything? They probably did, and it's just totally gone from my mind, 4 or 5 years later.
Well, okay, so like some of the more interesting ones that I remember is, and I think this happens on more than one planet, somebody will tell you, there's been a murder. I need you to go investigate the murder. And when you go to that location on your map, you turn on your scanner and maybe you'll find a body or a print or something that you have to analyze and follow to the next location. Hey, sounds kind of interesting, and go investigate a murder, but it just didn't really, like, it doesn't materialize into anything beyond go here, scan this object, go to the next place. And if you've done that 4 or 5 times, then apparently you found, the victim or the weapon of who did it. Like there's no real plot point associated with that. It's just logged in your quest book as now that's done. We figured out who killed this person, but it's just a line of written text in your logbook at that point. Like stuff like
By the way,
that.
am I misremembering games? But was this the one with the weird, like, mechanical flying worm things that also you would have to fight? Maybe I'm misremembering games.
When you say worm things, are you talking about like really, really large? There was one that I found that might be what
I
you're
hated that
thinking.
thing. I hated
More
that thing with a passion.
like a boss battle is what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was like a boss
Yeah.
battle, but it would come up. I want to say it acted like a boss battle, but it was like part of some side quests.
Yeah. I believe that what I'm thinking of is the same thing you're talking about. That wasn't here.
Okay.
But you know what? That's more interesting than some of the other stuff. Like then you have stuff like that, right? Like that you're right, that was a side quest, and it was on one of those desert planets, I think. Where you get a bona fide boss to fight, and he was not easy. It took me, I don't know, it was like a 10-minute battle of driving to different locations and constantly trying to like whittle down his health. That's way more interesting than some of the other stuff. Why was that just a side quest? That one starts off as they're sending you out to go tap water sources for this planet. Like you have to go to different, I don't know, geologic locations, and again, click a button so that, Ryder does a thing. Supposedly it tags this, underwater water well or this underground water well. But if you do that a couple of times, eventually I guess you disturb this giant underwater creature that then comes up kind of mad at you, and you have to fight it. So that's what you're talking about. Why was that a side quest? And why did it start off so like generic? Drive to these 5 places and push a button. Why would I do that? The last 10 times I've done that, there has been nothing that resulted from it. Like you would have just missed that, I did some of the side quests on one of the early jungle planet I think you go to, and there was another cool one there where if you continue with that, you'll find like like a vault, completely optional. You don't have to do it necessarily, but you go in there and you I don't know, solve whatever puzzle is in there. But it ties a little bit more into like the universe, A couple of interesting ones are hidden like that, but I didn't feel like sifting through the busy work to find the one or two interesting side quests on each planet at the end. So I just kind of gave up. I figured by the time I'd roll credits, I'd seen most of the interesting stuff already.
Yeah, as I said, execution for this game was definitely lacking.
I think that's where we are. Like, is there anything else to say at this point?
Trying to think of what else there is to talk about.
There's only so many ways you can describe like a room temperature glass of milk. And I think I'm running out of ways to do it.
Did we go over availability and cost already?
I see this game for sale all the freaking time, and it's usually for like $5. I've seen I could probably look it up on Deku Deals and see if how low it's actually gotten, but I want to say I've even seen it as low as like three or four.
I could not recommend this game. If you're starved for Mass Effect, like $5 is a low investment, I guess go for it. But without like a sequel that gives me more of a reason to want to play this, I don't see that this is worth it. Definitely not for anything that's not a sale price, you know.
No.
It, if this had turned into a trilogy, I would have said the same thing as I do for the original trilogy. Yeah, play the first Mass Effect because you need it to get to the good stuff. Even though it's a little,
Rough
I don't
around the
know. It,
edges.
yeah, it's definitely rough. I without that, there's just no reason. And that, man, that makes me a little sad. With this game, it does. I feel like I would want to say to people, play this, like even just to get to something better. But since that's not even the case, why would I ever recommend that?
Yeah, it's a weird one because like I played it, I don't know, it was like 2021, and by that point I was pretty sure there wasn't going to be a sequel, and it was fine. Like you said, it's like 30 40 hours. This is like, I think playing it felt like reasonable facsimile of Mass Effect. If I had played it when it came out, I probably wouldn't have liked it that much, but it was fine. It kind of hit that Mass Effect hole, almost like Mass Effect nostalgia at that point that I was having, because it'd been, pushing 10 years since I'd played a Mass Effect game. It's like, okay, yeah, there's some of the things that I remember from Mass Effect. It's not as good, anywhere near as good as the original trilogy, but like I said, like I stumbled into at the beginning, Mass Effect methadone, it kind of fills that hole, maybe. But I would not recommend it per se. It's not exactly bad, but it's not exactly good. The tricky thing is that it doesn't do anything, like there are certain times when you play a game where even if it's bad, it does at least one thing that's interesting that makes it worthwhile. I'm not sure this game really does that. And certainly the, like you said, the little hints of kernels of interesting story ideas. Well, those are never going to go anywhere, so even that's not really a reason to play.
Yeah. That's the only thing I could think of. That I really like the idea of this 600-year jump into the future. No way to communicate with the previously established world. No way to go back to the previously established world. Even if you could travel back, it would be another 600 years, and that world is long gone. Like it's 1,000 years at that point removed from what we've seen of the Mass Effect universe. Man, what a great idea, and I still can't recommend anybody to play it. What for?
It's the crazy thing. Like the setup, I think, is really good. I don't think we think that the story, the rest of the story, the main core story, is bad in any means. It's just, like
It's just not good.
it goes from
Is it?
point A to point B, and like a lot, they were towards the end of it, they start trying to set up the sequels that are never going to come.
Does anybody know? Has there been any official like books set in the Andromeda universe published?
Surely
Because that could
not.
be maybe a way that I would say, yeah, that might be worth actually spending some time on. Give a different storyteller a chance to kind of pull me into that world again. But I'm not aware of there being any.
Maybe you could find a really
Oh,
good
there
fan
is.
fiction.
No, there is.
There is a official tie-in book for Andromeda.
Yeah, Mass Effect Andromeda Initiation, written by N.K. Jemisin and Mac Walters.
Oh, there are three of them. There's a series,
Ooh.
yeah.
Now, I
Nexus
wonder if that
Uprising,
would be worth
Initiation.
it.
That's weird, yeah.
Unless they were like prequel books. Serve
It,
as
yeah, but that's
tie-in
fine.
prequel and sequel stories.
Because you know what prequel to me implies is something that occurs during that 600-year voyage. That's a big gap of like potential storytelling that could be filled. I would say I would be more interested in checking out the books than like the game itself at this point.
Well, I'm not saying prequel. I'm saying like before they left.
That's okay too.
True. But still, it doesn't go into the issue of, fixing the issues with Andromeda.
No.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't mind prequels that are more divorced from the core story that we know and love, because, characters having plot armor and all of that.
Well, I mean, this is not even a story we know and love.
No, but I know that some people don't like prequels, and I understand why, because there's kind of no tension, but you get a good prequel series like, say, Better Call Saul that really dives
Yeah.
into the character.
Well, I think what's attractive about like maybe these prequels for Andromeda is it seems like they would ditch Ryder, and that's a plus in my book. I don't really need Ryder for any particular reason that I can think of. We've fallen a far, far distance from what Commander Shepard was. I just really don't like Ryder. I do not like him. It's why I didn't, well, it might be why I didn't like romance anybody, because I don't want to help Ryder get any. He
Well,
doesn't deserve it.
it is a weird thing that even the I presume what they were going for is that, like, when you start the first Mass Effect, Shepard is kind of already an established presence, he or she has already kind of set himself up as, like this imminent, respected person. And that is very not the case of Ryder. He is the nepo baby that has stumbled into this situation and is now leading. And like
Nepo baby.
nobody really respects him, and that, like quite rightly, they don't really respect him. And I think the concept was to like have a character that like slowly kind of becomes someone that people has eminence and gravitas and people respect. And yeah, I think unfortunately it just kind of didn't work out, and you the player are almost like have the same sort of derision that a lot of the other characters have for Ryder.
I was gonna ask because I felt like Shepard was kind of a blank slate, and you shaped Shepard depending on how you responded to people, if he was gonna be, bitchy or
So,
nice.
no, because so you pick like background things when you first create Shepard, and so your character is like known in the world for being like at this particular battle or being born from these particular parents. So your character's actually is known and at least somewhat respected. This is how come you're being approached to become the first human Spectre in the world.
Okay, that makes sense then.
I might have liked playing as Alec Ryder more.
Yes.
When they kill him off right away, and then here comes young Ryder. Oh, okay, so this is Shepard version 2.0, basically. That's all this is. Like, young guy looks incredibly generic. This is just I mean, I remember making my Shepard into this like Quasimodo monstrosity in the character creator. And so of course after 3 games I can't like divorce that image of him from my mind, but I prefer that over milquetoast Shepard in this game any day. Like, Alec Ryder had background, he had baggage, he had a wife that died, he gave up his life to come to the new galaxy to pursue something, right? Like, he had drama in his. You know what? That's what it is. Scott Ryder has zero dramatic like drive. There's just nothing in the story that drives him in a dramatic way ever.
No, his motivation is he's taking up the family business because his dad made him.
Yeah, I guess
Yeah.
playing as a nepo baby is kind of a disappointment.
Oh. Man, this has turned into a sad, sad backtrack.
I mean,
It's just the potential.
do we even want to do the round table? Sounds like it's not gonna have a favorite of
Yeah.
anything.
No, but it's so different from when I hate a game. There are games I hate and there are games I love. And here I just can't help but just be a little sad.
Yeah. No, I feel you.
And part of that is just because, we went from such a great series that was, Mass Effect, one to Nepo Baby.
And that's the unfortunate thing is that when you go from a series that just was so good to something that's just bordering the line between mediocre and bad, that apparently this is, it's just such a downer, you know?
And I think it's like we've discussed, like I feel for where the developers were coming from, like they Shepard's story was over and they just wanted to go in a completely different direction. And I think they had good ideas for that. They just didn't have the capacity, from the all the things that surrounded the development of this game to kind of execute upon that. And it is quite a kind of a shame.
Do you think part of it is because the quote unquote A team was working on Anthem?
Well, I don't know that the A team exactly did a great job with Anthem either, so I'm not
Well,
sure.
I mean,
I'm not sure
Anthem
it's the
got,
team.
yeah, Anthem got shut down, so I don't think that had much to do with it.
I mean, the writing n needed a shot in the arm, and that could be something that is affected by, who was on it. But some of the things that bother me kind of like internally, just if I looked at a screenshot from Andromeda of like, I don't know, a party in battle, and then you showed me a screenshot from Mass Effect 2 of a battle party, I bet they would look very indistinguishable. Okay, so there's a human, a Turian and a Krogan firing at something, shooting guns. It's the same. Why is it the same thing? That to me, that sounds a lot more like a like designed by committee or like the higher up saying, nope, we need one of each in the battle party. We gotta have the races all represented. Make it just like the old game, don't make it the old game, but it's gotta be identical in so many ways. Like, I don't know if that, to me that I, like I said, that sounds just like somebody driving decisions to appeal to, I don't know, mass market share or something like that, rather than like a
I
creative
think
choice.
it was more. I'm going to slightly disagree with you on that. Not the overarching thing, but I think it was more they wanted like recognizability. So since people recognized those races and those characters, people may be more like, oh, this is Mass Effect still because it has these races and these characters. That's where I would say, but I'm not going to say my thought on, it could be a mix of both. I don't know. But yeah, there was definitely decisions made about, the races to be in there.
And of course, some of it may have just been the bean counters being like, hey, we've got all this art assets from the last three games. Why do we need to design new races that'll mean new art assets?
And that could be another reason, yeah.
They all
Yeah.
combine together sometimes.
So that may not even be like an issue of which team they had working on it then. That could be other factors as well.
Yeah.
EA is known to, I guess, ruin everything.
Yeah, that is EA's MO, buying things and slowly ruining them and then pretending they don't exist.
Because I'm sorry, I think that's why I am starting to kind of like indie games a little bit better because they let people create art and not just the same thing over and over again. They don't have to be beholden to suits who tend to ruin everything. Well, on that sad note, do we want to move on to the round table or do we have
Yeah,
anything else?
I think we've gotten
we're
this
good to
part
move.
done, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a brief musical interlude, get our emotional support. I was gonna say Krogan, but I'm blanking on the name of the race that doesn't have emotions that they had blushes of.
Is it
Go.
the Quarian?
No,
No.
no.
You talking the Salarian?
No.
What the hell? I don't know. Who
I
doesn't have emotions?
the
Oh, the
characters from
Hanar.
the yes.
The ones that talk in a very, like,
And have
I don't
to
want to listen
say
to
their
it sort of way.
emotions, yes.
Yeah, they made a plush of the
Oh,
one
well, you know what? We didn't get
Elcor.
those either. The
Elcor.
Elcor.
Yeah.
They were, I think they were teased to be in the DLC that didn't come out.
Oh God.
Because I love those guys because they were so funny.
I
And
can't
that's
take
another
them.
thing it was kind of mi this game was missing. They lost a lot of that humor that the first three games had. And see, that sucks because that's why I started playing the first couple of games was because I'd caught a couple of clips of some of the jokes, just some of the incidental stuff around the Citadel, and I was laughing my ass off at it. And I kind of, I mean, the game isn't like a wacky comedy or any, or the series itself isn't a wacky comedy or anything, but I like those funny moments.
There was no Elcor Hamlet like there was in Mass Effect 2. None of that fun stuff, you
No,
know.
the Elcor Hamlet was a running gag through the entire thing. It's like, because I remember, like, in Mass Effect 3, one of the ads that would play on the Citadel is for the Elcor Hamlet. Yes, his 16-hour long award-winning epic, Elcor's Hamlet. I remember that. Like, that's the thing, though. Like,
Like to be or not to be Hamlet, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
Yeah,
don't
the
remember
elk
this?
the
There were like ads for it on the
no.
Citadel.
No.
And also the game store that was a complete jab at GameStop.
Yeah.
Oh, there is
But see,
a
that's the thing. Like, we're sitting here, we're covering Mass Effect Andromeda, and like half of us are not, like, I admit, I did not play this game as fully as some of the games on Backtrack that I do play. I had feelings about this one. That's why I'm here, because it's like I gave up on the second world because I went from desert planet to desert planet. I was just like, I'm done. Because I live in a desert. You guys, everybody knows I live in the desert. I comment all the time when I'm like, why am I in a desert area? I live in a desert. I don't need to see deserts in my games. You know, why am I starting in a desert area? This is like my backyard.
Well, I think there are only, if there are two, then I think you found them both. I don't think there are any more, so you had the bad luck of like doing the only two desert planets back to back.
Yeah, you know what? I can take the fault on that one, you know. But that's the thing. Like, here we are. We're remembering like these random little bits of Mass Effect 1 while we're talking. It's, you know, like the Alcor's doing Hamlet.
Yeah, that does sound fun. There is a reporter in Andromeda that you have a quest line with. Of course, it makes you think about the one that you got to punch in, was it
That's
two or
Was it
three? I
two
don't
or three?
remember.
Yeah, I think it was two. Yeah.
But
One
nothing quite that fun happens here.
one through three. She was in all of them.
This one in Andromeda, you can have a, I think you can have like a little tryst with her. She sort of proposes one at some point, but that's not very interesting. And I think that's about as far as that storyline goes.
I mean, that's kind of par for the course for Mass Effect anyways. You know, banging everybody.
Except when you can't. Like I said, my writer, he flirted with everybody, and zero banging happened. Even people that offered it, I couldn't like figure out how to seal the deal. Like that reporter. She was ready to go, and I still couldn't do it. So, yeah.
But anyway, emotional support, Elcor. That's what I was trying to say. Let's find our emotional support, Elcor. Have a break, and then we'll come back with the round table and wrap things up. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now going to get into probably the shortest roundtable we're ever going to do. Because do you guys have favorite moments or characters or anything in this game?
I kind of like as I mentioned earlier, I like Drak. I remember during his loyalty mission, there's this one point where you're kind of like you're kind of stuck at a certain point and you can't move forward, and Drac just kind of like headbutts a hole in a wall so you can get through, and he just like starts laughing maniacally and jumps through, and there's like these two enemies who are just like freaked out and scared, you know, that this crazy Krogan has headbutted through a wall. He just kind of go like laughs maniacally, goes hi. Just like a wonderful little one of the few moments of fun, you know, like levity in the game that
I
still stick
personally
out.
liked jump packing around and like falling over into weird places. No, that is one thing I will say I really did enjoy was the jump pack itself was a very good addition because it just increased your like movability so much.
Yeah, the added verticality made the combat a lot more interesting for me than just the very linear, corridor shooters that the certainly 2 and 3 were.
So, anybody else have a favorite or funniest moment?
I'm really blanking on what would I, something that I had enough passion about to consider a favorite in any way. I don't think so.
Did you have a most average moment, Pascal?
Oh, most average like character or, oh, it has to be a moment. Okay.
Moment or character. There you go. Either one.
Okay. Sure. Here we go. You get to, when you decide when you well when the game gets to the point where you help the Angara, one of the things they ask you to do is to rescue, oh, their Moshai is what they call it, which is kind of like a, I don't know if I really got a good sense of like what truly it is. I'm just gonna call it like their spiritual leader slash like scientific leader.
Okay.
He's kind of like their wise woman. I think she would consider herself a scientist, but she's so well liked that I get the feeling that she's like a well, she's looked up to like a spiritual leader, right? Like she's revered by the whole race, basically. So you have to save her because she's been kidnapped by the Kett, and when you do get her, the facility that she's being held in. You save her right before the Kett turn her into, one of their quote unquote like zombie creatures that they turn everybody into. And she's there along with a bunch of other Angara that were kidnapped. And you're given the choice of destroy the facility so that no other so that the Kett can't use it to turn anybody else into, their zombie creatures. But that would also kill all the captive Angara that are currently there, or get the Angara out and rescue the captured prisoners, but then you don't have time to destroy the facility, which means they could come back any time in the future and repurpose the facility and kidnap more victims to turn. So you have to make a decision, and no matter what you pick, they're basically going to be pissed off at you. Somebody, one side will be pissed at you for the concession you make. That's the only moment I can remember right now where you had to make a decision that felt significant.
What did you pick?
I chose to rescue the captive Angara and just leave the facility standing.
Okay.
Like I think it goes like you're given a certain amount of time, or at least I don't remember if it's an actual time or if it's just like, quote unquote like game time, like the characters say that they have to leave quickly, and you have to decide, do I turn on the self-destruct, but then everybody dies that's still here, or do we get them all out? But we have to leave, so we then the facility doesn't get blown up. So yeah, I know I saved everybody, which ingratiated me with what's the Angaran character's name? Drav?
Jaw.
Dravs? Jarl. So he was happy about that because I saved a lot of his people. But funny enough, the Moshai, the lady who I was actually saving, she was cross at me for leaving the facility there, despite of how many of her people I saved. She didn't like that, but it makes no difference. Like she still will, after she gives you the silent treatment for like a minute, then she'll talk to you about, and you can proceed the regular plot points with her. It doesn't really change much that I found going forward. So there you go. There's my big favorite moment.
That sounds very average. I think you hit the bill.
And Tam, you didn't get very far. Did you have anything?
Not really. I think I vaguely remember that facility because it was very early on, wasn't it?
Yeah, like kind of early in the main story, like in the first half of the game, nearing
Okay.
the halfway point.
Yeah, but
It was actually where I saved the game like 7 years ago, like right in the middle of that mission, I guess. And it's where I jumped in now. And like when I came back to finish it, and I'm like, what the hell? Where am I? What is going on? I honestly, when I went back in, I had to take a couple of days to slowly read like through the codex again, just to get a feel for what this game even is. But yeah, Tam, which desert world was your favorite?
I honestly preferred the first one without the Krogan, only because of the fact the second one had like, which was the one the Krogan landed on, had this weird thing where like you could get heat stroke if you were out in the sun too long. So I kind of preferred the first one, but like oh, and it, there was definitely like a different vibe to the deserts, but they were both still bloody deserts.
Well, you would have loved the ice world because it does the same thing. If it slowly chips away your health because of how cold it is.
Of course it does.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, ice deserts are technically a thing.
Oh
Yes.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
But
no,
it's
they are.
not very doesn't really translate into like a very original or fun gameplay idea. Oh, great, another world where I have to stay inside the vehicle.
Or stay in shade or find cover.
Well, in the
Yeah.
ice world, you can't even, there are little lamps that give off heat that you can like huddle near to get out of the cold. So yeah, it kind of works the same way. You're right.
So we sort of talked about our favorite characters. So our wild card question. Did you experience any interesting glitches at all?
No,
Oh.
not me.
I didn't get any of the crazy ones where, like people were clipping through stuff. Nothing I remember anyway. I did have a glitch at the end of the game in the very final boss fight. So, like you sat through all the cutscenes and then the boss fight just didn't trigger. So it just kind of like stuck. I went through all the cutscenes and then it just stopped. It just sat there. And I think I had to just like close the game, reopen it from the previous save, and then the next time it was fine.
Yeah,
Weird.
I actually did have one.
You were playing it probably closer to launch.
Yeah, I played it at launch, and oh, what was it? It was actually the very first boss fight. I remember that. I'm just trying to remember what exactly happened. But
Because,
it was
sorry, it just occurred to me that I think the reason why the glitches and stuff were so memorable is because the PS, at least with the PS4, I don't know about the Xbox, but that was the system that had the share button that w let you record like the past up to like the past 10 minutes of video and then put it up on social media. And back before you had a capture card, you couldn't really, or unless you had a capture card, you couldn't really do that before.
I will never not be able to think when you talk about the share button, your Breath of the Wild share.
Oh yeah,
The horse, that's
me.
just burned into my memory now.
Yeah, I don't know what was funnier, me smacking the horse or me looking into the distance like, oh,
Oh, the look.
lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, but
That
no, my
resigned stare into the distance.
yeah, no, I had a glitch with the very f when you first meet like the antagonist of the game, and where like he didn't load correctly, so he was like flying in the air or something. I forget the specifics, but it was pretty amusing. Or he
Because
was like off center or something. But it was so minor that I didn't really care.
They had another
Graphical.
little.
Sorry, I was just saying that
No, go
graphical
ahead.
glitches always crack me up.
There was a missed opportunity with the Archon, the main bad guy in this game, because as the game goes on, you meet him a few times, and at one point you have a mission where you go onto his ship and you have to like kind of go into his quarters, I guess, to go find, I think you have to find some item. Anyway, as you learn more about him, it starts to become clear that he's like fixated on this idea of the what are the monoliths, right? Like to the point where even his superiors and like the people in his own culture are not like he's kind of going against their orders. He's kind of rogue at this point. Like he took the strike force that he commands in Andromeda, and he's more or less using it to go after his own his own fixation. And it's there are some people in his organization that don't like that, and that's kind of a neat idea, not expanded on enough. Like it would have given him like that maniacal like evil villain nature, so anyway, the point just being he could have done more with it. It was there, it was hinted at. And the reason I was thinking of it is because after you kill him, there's a scene where a Ket is looking from like a different ship. He's kind of like watching on at what's happening. And it's hinting at like dun, 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 look, there's the bad guy. He's still around. And I honestly was confused. Like I thought I just killed him. Why is he there now looking at like the Nexus or looking at whatever's happening? And later I kind of got, oh, that was another Ket. That was like his boss. That was the Archon's boss or something like that. I don't really know. So they were setting up for a sequel, the next big villain, then the next higher up. But it was so confusing that I couldn't, like, it took me minutes to understand. No, you really did kill the bad guy. This was just another one.
It was his brother seeking revenge.
It might as well have been. I mean, like that's kind of, yeah, I guess that's my point. Like it could have been anybody. Long rambling explanation.
And did we have any memories tied to this game other than disappointment?
Yeah, like wow, that sure was a game.
Was a game.
I think this was one of the ones I played on Game Pass. It was would have been 21, so kind of like tail end of COVID kind of restrictions. And that kind of was the appropriate way to play it. Like, hey, it was free, so I didn't pay anything for it. So I guess it was okay.
You only
It was
paid with your
okay for
time.
free.
Okay for free, yeah.
I played our next game for free just with the cost of a $70 yearly subscription.
No, our next game.
Yes,
Ooh.
our next Backtrack is going to feature Lies of P.
I played Lies of P for free. I reviewed it.
I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed it.
Did you play the DLC?
I did not. I didn't have time. I literally just beat it this weekend, and I've got, unfortunately, I've got Kimco games I've got to beat.
Oh, well, we can't talk DLC anyway since that just came out.
Yeah, we can mention it. We just won't spoil it because I'm curious about it. But to be honest, I think I'm gonna wait for it to go on sale. But that's gonna be a fun show because I'm normally not into Souls-like, so when I do get into one, I get into it. And I you said not to say anything, and I can't wait to tell you things because I've got things.
Cool, me too.
But that will be in a pair of weeks. We had to delay this week's show because of issues, but no worries. That being said, thank you, Robert, for rescheduling.
Thank you for rescheduling around my reschedule.
Yeah. And thank you, Pascal and Josh, for coming on and finally making me confirm that $5 on Mass Effect Andromeda probably isn't the great deal that I thought it was going to be.
Thanks for giving me a reason to finally finish this.
You're welcome.
Get all those 3 out of 5 thoughts out of my head.
And thank you, Matt, for editing the show, who I could not do the show without.
No, that's all right. I'm always here in the background. You guys kept me awake tonight. Thank you for going much less. Thank you for not enjoying this game as much.
Yeah, so sometimes you gotta talk to mediocre games so that you can appreciate the good ones more.
That's all right.
We need some
You got.
backtracks about bad with really bad games. Not even mediocre games. We need some that have feelings.
Well, I was looking at my Steam library and seeing a bunch of agorists that I bought for the bit because they were on sale. The problem is that with bad games, nobody finishes them.
No, why would I want to play it?
Or
No
one person
Magazino is
finishes it.
calling.
Yep, one person finishes it and warns everybody else. So we have
Yeah.
like one. We'd have to have like a bad games episode, so everybody brings one game because. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of games out there, a lot of bad games out there that multiple of us have played.
Yeah, because it was Mariage, that Agorist Mariage that I saw in my Steam library, and I was like,
Oh.
oh yeah,
You mean
and
marriage?
I thought it was pronounced
I think it is
Mariage.
done Mariage, yeah.
Oh,
Josh, is that the banana game?
that is the banana game. That is the
Yay.
infamous banana game.
It's the only thing I'll ever remember about that.
did you even review that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
Probably very badly.
Yeah. I don't think it was the worst score I've ever given because it was like functional, but it was not good.
I know that if there is a bad game, one, I know what game I'm bringing. That time I was reincarnated as slime, Isekai Chronicles.
I am trying to th see, usually my go-to is Lunar Dragon Song, but
That one's pretty bad.
I've talked about that one already. I feel like I've played a bad one recently that I suffered through. I'm blanking on it now, probably because I tried to repress the memory. But anyway, we'll talk good. Well, I say we're going to talk good games because after Lies of P, we've got the scariest Halloween show we could possibly do, and that's the Kimco episode, the long
Alert,
promised
alert.
Kimco alert. Which very well might have a skit instead of jokes, because I've got ideas. But thank you, listener, for hanging out with us. We will see you in a pair of weeks to talk about Lies of P. Have a good rest of your week, and we shall chat at you later.
Bye,
Bye
everybody.
bye.
Bye bye.